Well, good morning. We're glad that you're here today. We want to praise God for an opportunity to gather together. We have a number of folks who are out sick, and so we're just grateful for your presence and being good health, and we hope that will continue. So we appreciate your endurance as we continue to wear these things. Numbers have come down a little bit this week. Was almost 6%. Now positivity rate is 5.3. So hopefully those will continue to come down, and a number of our folks will get well and be able to join us again. We want to begin our time with any announcements. Yes, Nancy?
That pink flowers there are in memory of Danny's mom.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. In memory of Danny's mom. And also on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice there's a couple announcements there coming up. We are still planning to go ahead with the church picnic. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. And we have our council meeting coming up. So please mark those dates on your calendar for the last week of August. All right. So let's begin our worship with this prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come into your house this day. We praise your name. We praise you for all that you have created and all that you're doing in our world. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move mightily. Have your way in this worship hour, Lord. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to be present. We ask that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and magnified, and that you would draw all of us closer to yourself. And so open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding, that we might have your wisdom in how to live these times in which we have. And God, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and join in singing number 310. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, the holy name of Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock is staying, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on him. You may be seated. We want to take time to share together in prayer, and before we do that, sharing our joys and concerns.
Nancy?
Yes, I talked to Francis yesterday. They are sick with the COVID, as well as a number of folks in the Free family, and so we want to keep them in the prayers. Francis said, "I'm sorry, we won't be in church for a while, so if we don't see them for a while, that's why they're recovering." Yes, Danny? Okay. Thank you. Darling.
Jenny, I'm going to keep Jenny on the prayer list, and Ricky and Alan and Alice. And Alan wants to thank everybody for their cards and phone calls, and he really appreciates that.
Great. Wonderful. Continue to keep those folks in our prayers.
I don't know if you mentioned that, but my brother Bob and his wife Linda and Jerry and their son Mike.
Larry.
All has been suffering with this coronavirus, and so they certainly need our prayers, especially brother with the problems he's had with his back, in addition to all this other stuff as well.
I understand he's very weak this week.
Yeah, and Wilton's another one that's been suffering quite a bit. There's quite a number of us that has been here in our congregation, in our community. We just need to put our faith and trust in the Lord and hope and pray that He delivers our health and safety.
I talked to Tammy a few minutes ago, and Wilton is to be home for the next 2 weeks for rest. So please keep them in your prayers. Yeah, again, Danny?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone for the prayers and the love outpour for the loss of my mom.
Yes.
It's been very nice. Thank
you. Our sympathy in Dana's passing.
I'm going to put the fireman that lost his life this week.
Fireman's family, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, I talked to Colleen, who lives at Tawny Village. She's been here a couple of times. And Colleen's mother, 93 years of age, passed away this week in New Jersey. So told Colleen we'd keep her in our prayers, and her and her sister. Any others? I'm sure there's more unspoken requests. So when we come before the Lord in prayer, and if you'd like to kneel, please do so, or you may remain seated. Let's bow our heads and pray. And we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come boldly before your grace, throne of grace today, and Lord, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, and we just are amazed at the many benefits and blessings that you give to us as your children. And Lord, we just want to thank you for health and this time of pandemic. We want to thank you, Lord, for provisions when many have lost everything. We want to thank you, Lord, for just the countless blessings of family and friends when some have none. And we are amazed, Lord, at your generosity, your grace to us. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We pray, Lord, for those that are in dire straits right now. Lord, so many things that are happening in our country, from horrific fires out west and floods. We think of floods in various countries like Greece and Turkey and Germany, and now the earthquake in Haiti with a storm approaching. Lord, we just pray that you would spare lives and pray that you would help that country here right after the loss of their president, assassination of their president. Lord, we pray that you would help Haiti to be stable and that you would provide. And so thank you, Lord, for the U.S. response that is headed their way to save lives, Lord, and to give relief. And we ask that you would especially be with our brothers and sisters in the Church of the Brethren there in Haiti. Meet their needs, we pray. We ask, Lord, for cessation of this spread of the COVID here in our community. And so be with the Free family. Be with Wanda and Francis and give them strength and help them to overcome and get well again. And so we pray for rest. And we ask, Lord, that you would just show yourself strong in each of their situations. We think of those that are in need, Lord, of your health and healing powers. For Jenny and Ricky and Alan and just others, Lord, that have been mentioned here before many times. We just ask, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to praise your name as we see your results in their lives. Give Wilton rest these next 2 weeks. And we pray, Lord, for your hand of comfort to be on those who have lost lives. For the fireman that was lost in the here in Frederick County, and for Colleen's mom's passing. We think of others, Lord, who are grieving. And Lord, would you just let them know that you're near, that you will provide. And so we pray you would meet the needs and the absence that these lives have created. We pray for our country, Lord, our president, his cabinet. We pray, Lord, you would give them good advisors, good information to make decisions. We ask, Lord, that we would continue to be a friend of Israel. And so pray the peace for Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for our military, especially Caleb and Elijah and others who are serving. We pray that you would meet their needs. Thank you, Lord, for their sharing of their time and in their lives to keep us safe. And we pray for our governors and our mayors. Help them, Lord, in the decisions that they need to make. We pray, Lord, for our leaders in our church and our denomination and our district, our brother Gene Hagenberger. We pray for deacons in each congregation, Lord. Help them to know how to reach out and serve during this time of pandemic. And we ask, Lord, that you might move mightily in those missionaries that we've become aware of, those that are serving in various places. For the church in China, we pray, Lord, you would meet their needs in very difficult circumstances in Myanmar, in other countries that are difficult to share the name of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would meet their needs. We think of Africa and Asia and Europe. So many places, Lord. So much that's going on. Syria. Lord, would you bring about your will? Let there be peace on earth. We ask, Lord, you would bless our area, Youth for Christ. Thank you for the many years of arts and ministry. And as the baton is passed on to the next leaders, Lord, we pray that that ministry would continue to be strong and financially sound. Thank you for Chris and his work with Young Life here in our county. We pray, Lord, you continue to raise up young people to be leaders, to reach out to our young people in our schools. So we think of schools, Lord, we think of the fall coming fast and going back to school with masks. So we pray for our teachers and our students and our parents and administrators. We ask, Lord, for civility, and we ask for a learning environment. God, would you move in a mighty way in our community, in our churches, in our families? We ask, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy and for your protection. Lord, we are grateful. And it's in your name that we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. invite you to turn to our next hymn, The Church is One Foundation, is number 336. Please join me in standing. Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is a creation by water and over. God had He made her shelter to make His holy bride with His own body. Scripture reading is there in your bulletins if you'd like to follow along. It is Proverbs 9, the Book of Wisdom. Wisdom has built her house and she's hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat and has mixed her wine and has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give wisdom to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? God in heaven, we just pause in your presence to ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds now to be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, our redeemer, our protector, and it's in you that we pray. In your name, amen. One of the things that I like is architecture. It is, I just find architecture sometimes very fascinating. And I can remember my first school trip to Washington, D.C. As our class rode the school bus to the mall, and we went to the different memorials around the city. I was just in awe of the grandeur of the structures. The huge buildings just seemed to be amazing in design, each costing millions of dollars, which you can hardly fathom to construct. And the marble just seemed to gleam in the sunlight. And I just was amazed because, you know, this country boy from the farm had never seen anything quite like it before. And so if you drive around D.C., one of the things that you'll notice is on the outside of the buildings are the grand columns, Corinthian, Doric, and Ionic pillars with many of the at many of the entrances of the buildings. The Corinthian columns are the ones that has this fancy leaf work at the top. The Doric are the ones that kind of more straight lines, and the Ionic are the ones that have the kind of the scrolly things at the top. Did you know that many of the D.C. buildings are patterned after the structures found in Greece, particularly the Pantheon? The Pantheon has 46 outer columns and 19 inner columns, and one of the special features of that unique building that has survived all these centuries is that there are no straight lines and there are no right angles. Can you believe that? Here it has survived all the earthquakes and everything down through the centuries. It's really a true feat of Greek architecture. The Lincoln Memorial was patterned after the Pantheon. The Lincoln has 36 exterior Doric columns that symbolizes the 36 states that were in the Union when Lincoln was shot. And you'll notice on the back of your $5 bill is a indication of that memorial. The U.S. Treasury has 34 Ionic columns, and on each side facing the 15th Street, those are 36 feet tall. They each weigh 30 tons, and they cost at the time $5,000. And on the back of a $10 bill, you'll see that U.S. Treasury building as well. The Jefferson Memorial is a circular building. It has 26 iconic columns, 26 for the number of the states when Jefferson died. And did you know that Jefferson died on July the 4th, 1826? So 26 columns, he died in 26. And another interesting feat interesting fact is that John Adams also died the same day, within hours of Jefferson. And so can you imagine these two great statesmen getting to heaven on the same time? Inside the Capitol, the Capitol's house wing, there are 28 white fluted marble columns, and they line the corridor there. It's really quite a sight. And if you notice on the back of a $50 bill, you'll see a picture of the Capitol as well. The Supreme Court building has 16 marble Corinthian columns. It is four stories high. And right above the entrance, you'll see the words Justice Under Law. One of the things I haven't seen yet is what they call the National Capitol Columns. It is an unusual landmark of Corinthian columns that had been used in buildings. Instead of discarding them, they saved them and gathered them together, and they're erected on the ellipse. And so a group of columns stand out there on the grass. You know, even though the White House has a few iconic columns with its five porticos, and that appears, the White House appears on the back of your $20 bill. Our scripture for today tells us that Wisdom's house has seven columns, or seven pillars. And so I'd like to talk about those today. This is the scripture that was for our lectionary reading today. And so I wanted to share a little bit about these seven pillars. It begins the verse there about Wisdom has seven pillars. Well, what are those seven pillars? How do we acquire them? Most likely, James gives this answer to that question. He indicates here there are seven important character qualities that we should have lists those there in the New Testament for us in James 3:17. And I believe these are referring to what Solomon spoke about back here in the Old Testament when he referred to wisdom as the seven pillars. When building a home or any structure, it is very important to begin with a good foundation. You want a rock-solid foundation. Don't build your house on the sand. Build your house on the rock. And so it's very important that you get a good, solid foundation so that the structure stands and withstands time. So you want something that's firm and able to support the structure. For the believer, that foundation is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation in which to build on that will last the spiritual forces. And so we know that He is the Word of God incarnate. And so we want to build our lives on the Word of God, and to build our lives on Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. This is how the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians. He said, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You know, with a good foundation, one can start the construction and to begin to build up. And so, the seven pillars of wisdom, what are they? Well, the first one is purity. James says that the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. Purity. It is the central column in the house. We become pure by the washing of the regeneration. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He washes us and we are regenerated. We are born again. We are given a second opportunity to live life in its fullness. And this particular pillar carries a lot more weight than the other pillars. To be pure means to be chaste, to be free from moral guilt, to be free from worldly contamination, to be forgiven from sin. And David sang, he said, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You know, oftentimes you can see the purity of a person by their countenance, the brightness of their eyes. There, it says here that it is enlightening to our eyes. And so Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Do you want to see God? Are you pure in heart? The second pillar is peaceableness. Not given to fighting or quarreling. Paul wrote about this to Timothy. He said, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth." And so peaceableness is a little different from peace. Peacefulness is focusing on good character, living how we live with one another, meeting the needs of others. And when we do that, oftentimes it brings peace instead of conflict. When I think of the word peace, I think of M.R. Ziegler. Anyone recognize that name, M.R. Ziegler? years ago, when we had our BVS training at New Windsor, Owner of Peace had their office there. And I can remember one day M.R. was sitting there on the bench underneath the tree, and he was just a real delightful person to talk to, a man of faith and service, and had served overseas in Europe. M.R. had an incredible vision for peace. He was just, I think, a giant when it came to peacemaking. And he had just an incredible vision of that peaceful kingdom being a part of our world today. And I think we have lost a great saint with his passing. Boy, I wish we had men like him today. It would be so good for us. Being peaceable is being able to get along with others. may not agree with them, but we're able to get along. We're able to find common ground. There's a story that's told in brethren circles of a brethren farmer who his neighbor couldn't seem to quarrel with. It seems that this farmer bought a piece of parcel of land, and he was told that maybe he shouldn't do so because the neighboring farmer was known to quarrel, and he contested the property line with the former owner so much so that the former owner sold out. The man liked the property, and so he decided to go ahead with the purchase of the land. Once he had settled in, it was no sooner than the neighbor was knocking on his door, and he came to tell him, "That fence over there has got to be moved. It is wrong and should be moved over several feet on your side of the property. And if you don't like that, I'm going to get a lawyer and see that it's done." Well, the farmer says, "Well, where should the line be?" So he pointed it out to him, and it was to the advantage of the neighbor. And so he said, you know, everything would be settled, total satisfaction to his. He said, you know, that little minor strip of land between us is really not something that we need to quarrel over. And it doesn't compare to having good relations with your neighbors. And so, you know, I concede. I'll give you that part of the land. So the neighbor said, well, why don't we just leave the fence where it is for now? And he said, okay, that's fine. So a few weeks went by, and unfortunately, as sometimes cows do, they get out. And they broke into and crossed over into the neighbor's cornfield, and they damaged some of his corn crop. And the neighbor was upset. He came out and started cursing the cows and chased them out of the cornfield and put up a rope and went over to the farmer and he said, "Your cows were in my cornfield. You're going to have to pay me for the damage." And he said, he's just really upset. He was screaming and hollering, and the farmer tried to calm him down, and he said, you know, "We don't need to go to court over this." He said, "How about we just get a mediator, and they can come in and decide how much the damage should be, and I'll be glad to pay that." And so the guy calmed down a little bit and was trying to pick the fight, trying to argue with him, and the neighbor's like, you know, "I'll be glad to pay, you know." And so finally he said, "Well, you know, why should we get others to arbitrate this?" He said, "We can settle this ourselves." And he said, "Really, you know, there's not that much damage." He said, "I've never met a man like you before. You just can't quarrel with you." And so they remained good neighbors for many years. Peaceableness. Are you someone that likes to quarrel? Are you quarrelsome? Or are you peaceable? The third pillar is gentleness. To be mild, to be moderate, not given to violent outbursts, but doing that which is appropriate. A gentleman of high principles and of honor and courtesy. You know, I wonder if being a gentleman is lost today. You know, I see so many young men being driven around by their spouse or their girlfriend. They don't get out and open the door for them or anything like that. You know, I still like to see people opening doors and being courteous and gentle to one another. Wouldn't you agree that this is a pillar we so much need in our society today? Gentleness. Think of road rage. Think about demonstrations turning violent. Gentleness. It is showing consideration and personal concern for others. Gentleness. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. Gentleness. Are you gentle? Are you a gentle giant? The fourth pillar is reasonableness. This James says, easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Reasonableness, a willingness to yield to not have your own way all the time, to be ready to listen, to reason, to act accordingly. It is reasonableness is the ability to think logically, to understand, to draw inferences. This is one of the ways that I think Paul was such a great apostle. He was able to reason with people. It says then Paul, as his custom was, went into them at Thessalonica, and for 3 Sabbaths, 3 weeks, he was there in that city. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Christ whom I preach to you is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And so Paul spent his time going to where the people were gathering at the synagogue, pulling out the scriptures, which is the Old Testament, and showing the Jews, the believers, the scriptures, and he indicated that these pointed to Jesus, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was the Messiah. Paul also wrote to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So our reasonable service is to give God our time, our talents, our resources. Are you reasonable? Can you be reasoned with? How reasonable are you? The fifth pillar is helpfulness. Helpfulness. James says, full of mercy and good fruits. And so, considering what others would like, being always helpful to join or contribute to a performance or to a completion of a task, to help. I saw on a Facebook, a YouTube video, some bikers were coming down the street, and there was an elderly lady at the crosswalk trying to get across, and they stopped their bikes in the middle of the street to stop the traffic. He got off his bike, went over and escorted the lady across the walk, and then got back on his bike and let the traffic continue. We don't see that very often. Helpfulness. Giving or offering assistance and aid to others. We have tried to be helpful in the Church of the Brethren with our disaster work. We're going to have an awful lot of more disaster work to do, given the situation in Haiti and other parts of our country, around the world. There's a lot of work to be done. A lot of help is needed. The scriptures say that God is our helper, so he helps us to help others. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We're called to help. That's one of the important characteristics of being a Christian, is to be a helper. You know, it's not necessarily that you have to hold the position, but those that are in positions of authority, those are in the key committee positions or chairs, oftentimes it's the ones who come and help with the project that really are appreciated. Those are the ones that really come through. The ones that are doing behind the scenes work are the ones that are often very helpful. And so, are you helpful? Can you be a helper? And the sixth pillar is humility. James says, without partiality. Humility is being without pride. It is a voluntary self-abasement. It is performing maybe an act of submission by some way, or maybe apologizing or doing penitence in some way. It is acknowledging that achievements result from the investment of others in my life. Solomon wrote this about humility in Proverbs, the book of wisdom. He says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Would other people say about you that you're humble? How would they refer to you? And the seventh pillar, then, is sincerity. Sincerity. Now, James says, without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Sincere in both speech and action. To be honest in what we utter. To be genuine. It is the opposite of hypocrisy. It is an eagerness to do what is right when our motives are transparent. Paul ended his letter to the Ephesians with these words. He said, "Grace be with you all, those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." To be sincere. Are you sincere? These are the seven columns, the seven pillars of the house of wisdom. And I wonder if your life is built with them. What is your house made of? What is it built with? Yesterday, Pat and I worked on building a house to illustrate these seven pillars. And you can see that the foundation here is Jesus Christ. And that is sits on the Word of God. And in the middle here, Miller pillar, is purity. It is the white pillar. And then we have peaceableness, humility, gentleness. Here on the back is reasonableness, helpful, and sincerity. Seven pillars of the house of wisdom. It is important that our house is built on Jesus Christ and built on the Word of God. So I'm going to set it here on top of the Bible, the Word of God. Christ is the incarnate Word. And we have our house of wisdom. What is your house made of? How is it built? Well, people say that these seven things are characteristic of you and your life. Well, to be wise, we need to dwell in the wisdom's house. Notice that wisdom is characterized as putting on a banquet, preparing a banquet for the simple to come, to gain wisdom, to gain understanding, and all are invited into the house of wisdom. It contrasts the lady of chapter 7, that is the lady of the street. She calls the people and she gets the people to come in and is able to ruin their lives. Wisdom calls out to come into her house to join in a banquet and a feast of understanding. And these are the seven pillars that make up that house. Purity, peaceableness, gentleness, being reasonable, helpful, humility, and sincerity. Do you have the seven columns, these seven pillars in your house, in your life, in your family? When built upon a firm foundation, built upon God's Word and Jesus Christ, they make a sturdy structure. Now, I was going to put this together as I was going through the sermon, and I thought, well, this isn't very sturdy. Paper rolls aren't going to stand up very well, so I had to glue it together and put it together in order to so you could get a look at it. I thought it would be up here, you know, and I put one column down and the one would be falling and I'd have a terrible mess. And so I went ahead and constructed it for you. We want to construct our structure with the Word of God. We want to build our lives on what His Word says. And it is a banquet. God invites us to come and join in the banquet, to be prepared for life and to have wisdom. In wisdom's house, those that seek understanding, those that seek wisdom are invited to come. The knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of wisdom. And so all those who are invited to turn away from foolishness, turn away from ignorance, and to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that wisdom begins with a reverence of God, a reverence for God, to have a holy sense of awe of who our Creator is, what He can do, and what He wants in our lives. And as we acquire that wisdom, it says that we will multiply our days. You know, when Moses was taken away, it said he was in the fullness of his age. His mind was still sharp. His senses were still good. And what a blessing it is for people to live a full life, to have their mind, to have health, even up into their hundreds. I saw in the news this week of a lady who bench pressed 160 pounds. I'm not sure if I could do 16 or 60. She did 160 pounds. She just turned 100 years old. And so wisdom oftentimes will extend our days and add years to our life. The scripture says, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. I don't know about you, but I need more wisdom. I need more understanding for these days in which we live. And so I would encourage you to be wise, to dwell in wisdom's house, and to acquire these seven columns, these seven pillars. Would you pray with me, please? God, only wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. You have wisely provided an excellent salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have given us your Holy Spirit to lead us into all wisdom and truth and understanding. And so, Lord, help us to forsake foolishness. As David Jeremiah shared with us this morning, help us to be aware of the enemy and his tactics, but not to fear. We ask, Lord, that you might grant us the wisdom that we need for the times in which we live. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to build these seven columns or pillars into our lives. May they be evident in our families. May they be evident in our community, in our church. Lord, as you told your disciples, let us be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And so we pray, Lord, that you would allow us to dwell in the house of wisdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to close our service by singing number 38, How Firm a Foundation. How Firm a Foundation. Would you join me in standing? Foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. God, and will still give me aid. All strength. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Go in peace. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.